I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, who is in recovery from addiction to alcohol and bulimia. I struggle with codependency and approval seeking. My name is Casey. It was the night before Christmas, and I was born to young parents who were actively and heavily addicted to drugs and alcohol. My mom was a heavy drug user from a very early age. One night while pregnant with me, my grandma found my mom in a drug house. She had overdosed and was put in a closet to die. My grandma saved both of our lives that night. My mom was only 18 at the time. My dad was an alcoholic who grew up with an alcoholic mother that gave him moonshine to drink as a young boy. He drank every day of his life starting from age 14 to 24 when he died. I was 3. His death was a suicide. He shot himself in the stomach. His last words were, "Oh God, what have I done?" There was evidence he was searching for happiness as he was engaged 5 times, married 3, and had 2 children. He wasn't able to continue living with his depression and alcoholism. Unfortunately, resources for help were not evident to him. I don't have any memories of him, but I have pictures of us together. With both parents using, there were long periods of time that I was alone and neglected. My mom remarried shortly after my father died to a nice man who gave me his last name. He was able to influence my mom to give up all her addictions except for smoking. Although he was a nice man, he wasn't much of a father to me because my highly narcissistic mom made sure that nobody loved me more than she was capable. My stepdad and I never really had a conversation. He didn't know how to be a dad. He just ignored me. Most of the fighting between my mom and stepdad would happen because my mom would be trying to start a fight, and my stepdad would then just shut down. This fueled her anger. When I was 8, my little brother was born. My stepdad treated him as a child, unlike what he wasn't allowed to do with me. I spent a lot of time protecting my brother successfully from my mom, always taking the brunt of her anger and rage. A few times, I hid my brother in order to protect him from her anger. I spent most of my childhood looking for adults that would love and protect me as a replacement for my mom, who is incredibly verbally abusive and only a handful of times physically abusive. I followed my parents' legacy and turned to alcohol at an early age, and as a result of looking for attention and love that I needed but wasn't getting at home. My first drink was in junior high. I went to school drunk and got the attention from a caring adult that I so desperately needed. This was where I first learned that I could manipulate situations to get the love and attention I wanted. When I was 14, I was raped by a 19-year-old man that I was inappropriately hanging out with while nobody was paying attention. I didn't tell anybody for a month, but my fear of pregnancy led me to tell my mom. I wasn't pregnant, and the man admitted to what had happened. He pled down to statutory rape and spent 2 years in jail. I would have drank after this, but I didn't have access to alcohol. I had something better, however. I had some of the attention that I so desperately wanted. I found myself making the story of what really happened with the rape worse and worse to continue to get more and more sympathy and love. Eventually, my stepdad had an affair and left my mom. As a result, my mom and brother and I ended up moving out of our home we grew up in. The very same day we left, his new girlfriend moved in. My mom checked out and was not available for me or my brother. She spent a lot of time working or on the computer engrossed in role-playing games. As I look back now, I knew and felt God was with me even at an early age. The first angel God placed me in the care of was my grandma. I call her Gram. With her help, I was able to attend church every once in a while and even asked if I could be baptized. I was baptized at the age of 9, and although I didn't completely understand what a relationship with Jesus was, I believed that I was special to somebody. I think the interest in church that I showed inspired my parents to attend church for a short period of time, but that didn't last. I wasn't allowed to be with my grandma as much as I wanted because my mom felt threatened by our closeness and kept us apart. I still felt very alone and early on started developing unhealthy coping mechanisms to deal with the feelings of being unloved and abandoned. I was a kid that was going to try to be the best I could be, to be perfect, to do everything right, to be sweet in the hopes that I would be loved somehow in return. I sought this attention from anybody that I could, teachers, other friends, parents, and etc. At the age of 16, I attended a Young Life camp where I learned the true meaning of having a relationship with Jesus and that he loved me and died for my sins. I accepted Christ into my heart on that trip. I attended church on my own regularly after that. Although I felt loved by Jesus, I continued to try to be the best at everything and earn other people's love respect and admiration. I graduated high school as a senior female athlete of the year and got a full ride scholarship to play volleyball in college. I had some success in college. I still hold records to this day, but because of my drinking, I never lived up to the potential God had created in me to be. I continued to drink and party in college, but chalked it up to normal college-age behavior. As an athlete, however, this behavior was negatively impacting my performance so much that I was taken by an ambulance from practice one day because I was having a cramp in my heart muscle from being so dehydrated. Even though I wouldn't admit my drinking was out of control, God was getting my attention. 1 Corinthians 10:13 states, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." I wrote this verse on my shoes that I played in for every college match. I knew that I had a weakness in temptation, especially when it came to alcohol. It was in the middle of my college career that my mom met a younger guy online. He was an 18-year-old college student, and she was 40. She married him and moved across the country. I was 20. I remember one time after she left, I was in college and in a moment of panic really needing my mom. I called her and was greeted with the harshest words you can imagine. My mom wanted nothing to do with me. I felt the most alone and unloved and scared that I had ever been in my life up to that point. Immediately after this, I started drinking alcoholically and didn't stop until I was 36. I earned my Bachelor of Science degree in computer science in 4 years. In that same span, I had earned almost enough credits for a master's in computer science. All I needed was to complete an 8-week capstone project. I left college without finishing my master's for an excellent job opportunity. The truth is, I drank heavily and compromised my Christian values and morals. I had to leave after graduating and not finish my master's because the environment was going to kill me, I thought. I blamed a liberal college town for my drinking and moral compromising and ran. Although I had left college and changed people, places, and things, my drinking didn't get better, it got worse. I did get a good job working for a private computer company. I worked my way up over 13 years to become the youngest and only female interim vice president of software development. I managed 22 people and was responsible for the development of multi-million dollar software and hardware development solutions. As a highly functioning alcoholic, I drank earlier and earlier in the day over a 6-year period. By the time I ended my career, I was drinking every day, starting hopefully by noon. I had at least one bottle on my desk at all times and a box of wine hiding behind an empty 3-ring binder on my shelf. I was unable to keep my drinking from catching up with me. I got alcohol poisoning on a business trip and missed 2 days of work. I woke up in a bathtub full of cold water and vomit. The water was just under my nose, and I had no memory of how I got there. I think God was holding me up out of the water that night. He had other plans. This was 2 weeks before my wedding, and this scared me to death and should have scared me sober, but I still could not stop drinking. Again, I chalked it up to what I thought was young, single, successful life behavior. Working hard and playing hard. I shared confidential executive information with an employee while drinking, which I should have been fired for, but again, I was let off the hook. I had met and fell in love with my husband early in my career at this company. This was before my drinking was so advanced. We were married after 2 years of dating. We did the best we could to put God at the center of our marriage, and we waited to live together and even waited to be intimate until our wedding night. I made a few attempts to stop drinking, and our lives seemed to be unfolding like we imagined on the outside. This is until we found out we couldn't have children. We went to great lengths to try to have our own children. We did 13 infertility procedures, 8 intrauterine inseminations, and 5 in vitro fertilizations. All 13 attempts failed to produce a pregnancy. All 11 embryos failed to survive. My disappointment grew and grew, and so did my drinking. The truth is, my alcoholism was so advanced that I struggled to not drink during the infertility procedures. I wanted to be a mom more than anything in the world, but alcohol was still more important and ruled my life. One of my lowest points came when I was attempting to disguise my alcohol, as I always did some way, in a hairspray bottle. By accident, I grabbed the bottle that was still hairspray. My alcohol brain tried to convince me that it really was alcohol and that there was just a little residue of hairspray. As I drank it, I knew it was hairspray, but my alcoholic brain again told me that maybe I could still get high off hairspray. So I drank the whole thing. I drank a bottle of hairspray. This is where my addiction had taken me. I was drinking every day until I blacked out. I didn't know if I made dinner, had dinner, fed the dog, drove home safely, drove anywhere again. I didn't remember conversations I had with my husband. I would wake up sick with my pajamas on backwards, swear I was never going to do it again, only to know all so well that in just a few hours I would start drinking again. Once again, I blamed my environment. If only my job wasn't so stressful and I could do something I loved. Truth is, I was a dinosaur in the IT field. I was becoming less and less functional in my addiction. I had let the industry pass me by while I was mostly concerned about my alcohol consumption and getting away with it. I left my career in the IT field and ran. I thought if I had a more meaningful career in healthcare, I would change my ways. I was making an attempt at sobriety and needed to change people, places, and things again. I went back to school and graduated first in my class with a 4.0 to become a certified surgical technologist, a career that I could help people and feel good about glorifying God with the work that I did, a career that was important to stay sober for. I wanted to change careers to do something more meaningful and help people in one of their greatest moments of need. I did make an attempt to stay sober while I was in school and first started working in surgery. But the lack of doing any recovery work on core issues, I was back drinking as heavily as I ever did after an accidental drink in Las Vegas on vacation. After a year of drinking in secret, I felt so much shame and exhaustion and felt that I was a moment away from death or a lifetime in jail. The pain of recovery seemed that it might be less than the pain I was experiencing in my addiction. I was confronted by my husband and decided I had no more fight left in me. I admitted my relapse, and my drinking was over. But how was I going to get help? I knew that I could not do this on my own and failed in times past when I made attempts at quitting. I tried outpatient treatment through a hospital, but that didn't work for me. I tried a PhD psychologist who didn't specialize in addiction therapy and didn't know how to help me. I made a pretty good go of it at AA with only temporary success. These all failed to work for me, I believe, for three reasons. One, I didn't work on core issues that always led me back to alcohol. Two, and most importantly, they didn't include Jesus at the core of recovery. And the third thing that was missing was somebody who knew how to tie this all together for me, somebody with experience in addiction and education in addiction counseling and relapse prevention with faith at the heart of healing. This leads me to another angel that God placed me in the care of, a counselor who saved my life. I was utterly defeated by my addiction and my failed attempts at getting sober when I walked through the door of the counseling office. I knew in the first 30 minutes of talking to her that she knew me as an addict, she knew all my ways I deceive, she knew there must be core issues that fuel my addiction that need to be worked through. God had sat me in front of the one person who he prepared to help save my life. I knew there was a chance I was going to live in that moment, but little did I know that God was going to use this counselor to prepare me to live a life that gives back to glorify him. She focused on my family and relationship with my husband as a co-addict, included couples counseling when it was appropriate in the time of my therapy. She provided understanding and education to my husband as well, so that as I changed, he could also grow. I was a different person coming out of counseling than when I went in. She knew that my husband's understanding of this process was critical to the success of our marriage and my ability to stay in recovery. She supported my faith and made it the center of my recovery, and not only helped me renew my relationship with God, but take it to a whole new depth. This was an intense 22-month-long therapy that left no stone unturned. I did deep and thorough work because my counselor would say, a stone left unturned could be the one that you trip over, which could take you back to your addiction. Praying Psalms 139, 23, 24 was at the heart of my recovery work. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Issues that were brought up as a result of this prayer were made evident to both my counselor and I, and one by one, I worked through them to a place of healing. I have to be honest and tell you that there were times I wanted to quit when it got too hard. I must have said at least 500 times, I never thought this would be so hard. But God led me to this place, and he kept a desire in my heart to want to keep going back day after day, week after week, month after month. The work was the hardest and most gut-wrenching thing I've ever done in my life, but every moment of it was so purposeful and necessary. I trusted my counselor because I trusted God put me there. God gave me the strength he promised, And with the only option of going back to the darkness and despair, I completed the work. My faulty belief systems change, and I now have new truths I learned about myself and my past. For example, I learned through therapy that my dad's suicide was an accidental suicide, and that I didn't have to feel abandoned and unloved as a result of him leaving this world. It wasn't that I wasn't enough to live for, it's that alcoholism and unresolved core issues were too painful for him to live with. I know he is in heaven, that I am loved. I learned that I engaged in unhealthy coping mechanisms and manipulation as a result of the relationship with my mom and her narcissism. I grieved what never was or what never will be, and my unhealthy behavior in those areas has completely stopped. I no longer engage in the cycle of attention-seeking by manipulation. Instead, I learned how to accept love from my Heavenly Father and trust Him. When I stopped trying to control this, God blessed me with the most amazing relationships where I feel loved, accepted, and supported. As a very important part of my recovery, my counselor strongly encouraged me to attend Celebrate Recovery. When I first came to CR, I had no idea what to expect, but trusted my counselor and would do anything she suggested to stay sober. I was greeted very warmly, and after CR 101 the first night, I joined the Women's Addictions group. I was still a little leery about CR Big Group, but I felt very at home with other women in addiction. The difference was that I was able to include Jesus in my recovery outwardly. I didn't have to say higher power. I could say Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I completed a 9-month step study that I was so ready to go through. I had worked through my core issues in counseling, and now I was ready to step out in a group of trusted women to learn, share, and grow even further in my recovery and faith. I was prepared to be completely transparent in working principle 4, that is, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. I didn't feel shame. Instead, I felt supported as I was able to share the details of my life and work through my inventory and amends. It was a perfect complement to my addiction therapy, and I gained accountability partners, a sponsor, and friends. I started to open up and be more honest in small group, slowly letting people into my life. I felt loved, supported, and worthy, not judged or condemned. Towards the end of my step study and well into recovery, we attempted our last in vitro fertility procedure. I believe that since I experienced so much healing in my body, mind, and spirit, that now would be the time God would bless us with a child, with twins, actually. We had 2 embryos left, and they were 3 days old, frozen and waiting for a chance at life. Life on earth, actually. At 3 days old, they were already our children. We had names for them. We prepared a place for them through the entire process. We prayed for them. We included God in ways we have never have in previous attempts. We even had an amazing spiritually gifted person in the room during our procedure to pray with us. I believed that the end of my story so far here would be that we were blessed with being able to bring those children into the world. But that is not how the story goes. We were not blessed with children, but we were blessed. As we grieved the loss of yet more children that we couldn't have, we discovered a new strength that we have never had before. The blessing was in the journey, not the outcome. We had been asked to have faith above all understanding against all odds. The lesson we learned is that faith doesn't depend on the outcome. We are not guaranteed any outcome in life, but God still asks us to have faith in Him. He knows what is best for our lives, and He has a perfect plan. We are forever grateful for the process and how it grew our faith and love for God. The other victory in this process is that I didn't drink as a result of the disappointment. God showed me how much I have grown in my spirit and how I have real recovery this time. This is a story of hope, victory, and faith, not disappointment. As for the rest of our story, we are waiting for God to reveal what has already been written. In the meantime, we celebrate that we are both alive together and anxiously awaiting in faith its unfolding. Today I have over 2 years of continuous sobriety. God did provide a way out, and I am lifted up under it. My husband and I have been married for 13 years, and putting in the effort it takes to grow a healthy marriage. My husband supports my sobriety by helping keep alcohol out of our lives. We were both baptized, now as adults, in our home church. I am a new creation, whole and free from the bondage of addiction. I am forgiven and loved by my Heavenly Father. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love He will rejoice over you with singing. I was recently tested by an accidental drink and used all the tools I learned in therapy. I was able to stay successfully sober despite the exposure. Now my brain has a new truth to what happens if I take a drink by accident and it's not relapse. I have completed a 9-month-long step study. I am co-leading a small group in CR, and I have an excellent support system. I have several accountability partners, one of which I check in at least once every day and has become a lifelong best friend. I see that I have purpose in my career and value as a person, wife, and friend. I celebrate that I have 11 children I believe I'll see one day in heaven, one for each embryo that didn't survive. God knows them by name, and they are in his care. I'm giving back to the recovery community by sharing my story of recovery. The Celebrate Recovery Bible explains gratitude in recovery as this: God will not only heal our wounds, he will prepare us to deal, he will help us, he will prepare us to help others deal with their pain. Recovery involves coming out of the darkness and destruction and going on through Christ's grace to live a life that gives back. To the newcomer, I pray that you hear hope in my story. There is a way to find victory over whatever habit or hurt is keeping you from a healthy and joy-filled life. I was at the place of believing there was nobody out there that could help me. If you are willing and ready, God can help you find healing. There are people that God uses as angels on earth, and there is a place called Celebrate Recovery. No matter how far down your addiction has taken you or how hopeless you feel in your circumstances, total and complete healing and recovery can happen. I won't lie to you and say that is easy. It takes an enormous amount of courage, and it's most likely the hardest thing you will ever do in your life. But please hear me when I tell you, it is worth it, and you are worth it. Thank you.